Liz, I am so happy that Framebridge is a sponsor of this episode of Satellite Sisters because I have the perfect job for Framebridge.
Oh, you have something special that requires framing? Preservation Liz. For the ages?
Yes, I do, Liz, because my book, The Marriage Sabbatical, was named a People magazine pick of the week. And guess who is on the cover of the People? My girl, Valerie Bertinelli. I mean, I want the magazine, and then I want to cut out the special, you know, mention of my book all in one frame. Wouldn't that be fantastic?
That's going to be fantastic. Plus, there's your head in a bubble. You have your book, the recommendation of your book, your head in a bubble, and Valerie Bertinelli. Framebridge it, baby.
Right. I mean, Framebridge is so good at framing unique and interesting items you want to display on your wall. Yeah. It's just used to be difficult to get that stuff framed and expensive, but Framebridge makes it so easy. So if you have travel souvenirs or original artwork or hotel key cards or menus or tickets or wedding invitations, Liz, do you want to frame a license plate? I know who can do it for you.
This is exciting, Lee, and welcome back, Framebridge.
And we love Framebridge because the quality is super high. Liz, both you and I have gotten personal things framed at Framebridge, and we display them proudly in our house because it's easy and affordable. You know exactly how much you're going to pay up front. The frames are gorgeous. You get fast service, free shipping, and it's super great for gifts. And guess what, Liz? Happiness guarantee. If you're not 100% happy with your piece, they will make it right. So Framebridge, get ready because my Valerie Bertinelli, People Magazine, and Marriage Sabbatical Pick of the Week mention is coming at you for framing. See why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit framebridge.com or a local Framebridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything. That's framebridge.com.
You're listening to Satellite Sisters.
What's a satellite sister?
The person you call when the best thing in your life happens or the worst.
The person that gets you up, gets you going, and gets you through.
And every once in a while, changes your mind.
This podcast is part pep talk, part weekly check-in.
Like grabbing coffee with a friend.
Thanks for being here. Welcome to the Satellite Sisterhood.
You're listening to Satellite Sisters. We're really glad you're here today for this all new episode. We are talking about health and wellness. I'm Leon Dolan in Pasadena, California. I'm a writer, producer, and apparently I have to start lifting weights. So I'm glad we have an expert on this topic on the show. Liz?
Yeah. So this is Liz Dolan. I'm in Santa Monica, California. You know, we at Satellite Sisters HQ here among the sisters, we just really found ourselves lately talking a lot about health and fitness and wellness and goal setting. So we thought it would be interesting to devote a few special episodes to the kind of health-related things that were on our minds. For me, you know, I'm just coming out of a bad orthopedic injury. So I wanted to talk specifically about fitness. And for that, we turned to longtime solid gold Satellite Sisters, Liz Neprint, who was our regular fitness advisor when we were younger. Liz Neprint, welcome back to Satellite Sisters, Liz. Yeah.
When you were younger, just keep that in mind.
Yes. So Liz is a health and fitness writer and co-author of Fitness for Dummies and The Runner's Brain. But also, you were a regular guest when we did a live daily radio show. I can remember days, Liz, where we would be doing exercises like on the floor in the radio studio at Disney Channel. You were teaching us how to do, somebody would be on mic talking to you and one or two of us would be on the floor trying things. Those were the days, right? Where we could just do anything.
We could do that now if you want.
No. We're good in our chairs.
Our problems are much more complicated now, Liz, because we were young and relatively fit then. And now, let's just say less so. So welcome back. We've got a bunch of questions for you related to like what's been on my mind. And I really wanted to do a special episode on fitness and nutrition and how our goals should change as we age, because I feel like I've lost a chunk of time here, that I was doing a pretty good job taking care of myself, and then all of a sudden I wasn't. And I'm sure I'm not the only one that's been in that situation, but Many listeners know I had a bad fall and broke my knee and my leg 3 years ago. So in January of 2021, so right during the peak of the pandemic, I had to have a major surgery. Lee, and you were there as my helper. Not a good time to have a major surgery, right?
It was not. No beds, no room at the end there for any recovery. So she came right home with me. And I am not a health professional. Let the record show.
Okay. So I had a major surgery in January of 21 and then another in February of 22 to try to fix that again. And that didn't work so well. So the good news is I just had a third and hopefully my final surgery, which was a complete knee replacement just a month ago. So that's the good news part of this conversation, Liz.
Well, I'm sorry you went through that. Especially during the height of the pandemic when there were so many COVID protocols in place and you couldn't have visitors.
Yeah.
Well, it's just a nightmare. And I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. No, thank you. It was a nightmare. And it was, I mean, we were also isolated anyway. And I think emotionally, the extra isolation that came from really not being able to even leave my house, I was non-weight bearing for many months. Anyway, I won't take you back through all of that. But I do have to say that I never thought about or understood the impact having limited mobility would have on so many other things in my life. You know, even as simple as the pleasure I get from taking my dog for a walk or just going out and getting out and around the world, you know, it just sort of stopped me from so many things.
Right.
And so that was hard. Also, I remember when I turned 50, my doctor said to me, okay, now you're in the stage in your life that will determine whether you become a healthy old person or a sick old person. So make sure you're really balancing things. And I feel like in my 50s, I did a pretty good job balancing those things. Not always perfect, but good enough. And then in my 60s, partly because of the pandemic, and partly because of this, I just lost my grip, Liz, and I just was so focused on orthopedic issues that all of the other things just sort of slipped away from me. So I'm probably not alone, right?
I totally hear you. I feel you, all of it. Mm-hmm. So in a very minor way, also during the height of the pandemic, I think you recall that I'm an avid runner, never had an injury in my entire life. Never, my husband always says, you can't hurt steel. Just don't have injuries, don't have any joint problems. And I was running along, beautiful early morning, and all of a sudden I felt, and I tore a gluteus muscle, which is at the base of your butt and between your hamstrings. So right at the base between where your butt and your the back of your thigh meet. I thought, oh, okay, no biggie. 11 months to heal, right?
Wow. It's a big muscle.
It's a big muscle, but it also taught me that you're not 20 forever. So when I was 20 or 30 even, that recovery time would have been much, much shorter. So I think when you do get an injury, and we really should talk about how we can do our best to prevent injuries and illness and all of that, but when you do, you have to be ready to let it heal for a much longer period of time, just because that's biology, genetics, nature, time. It just is. And you also have to be ready to pivot to something else. So if you can't do this, what are you going to do to make sure you maintain some kind of fitness so you can keep going? And that's not only for the physical part of it, but I think for me anyway, and I wonder for you too, Liz, also for the mental aspect of it.
Oh, totally.
If you're a lifelong fitness person, exercise person, or even if you're not, not just holding still and doing nothing is not how I am wired. So I had to pivot. I had to do other things. And I had to put my ego in check and I had to just figure it out. And I did. And again, I always try and take a lesson from anything that happens. And I learned a lot of good lessons from that, including being patient and the fact that even if I am made of steel, you can sometimes melt steel. So that's kind of what, you know, and I hope that everybody, and it's not necessarily you give up or it's bad or, you know, you're weak or you're even that you're old. It's just that it's different.
Yeah.
And so you just have to embrace, understand, and accept those differences.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I'm still having a few issues with that. So that's why I want, before we even get to the specific physical questions and your advice about like strength and cardio and all of that, I wanted to ask you about the issue of mindset, because I know you've written about this a lot, and I kind of feel like maybe part of my problem, like resetting my life post-injury, is that I don't really have a mindset, Liz. I've got a list of exercises, but people say, well, it's the athlete's mindset or the competitive mindset or the growth mindset. I can't think of what my fill in the blank mindset is.
Yeah.
And I feel like I need some overarching worldview, or maybe it's just a brand concept to think in marketing terms. Like, how do I begin to develop a new mindset that is appropriate to me as someone who's in her mid-60s now and doesn't have necessarily the strength and resilience I had when my doctor was saying to that is 50? How do I start now with a new set of meaningful goals that relate to a larger vision of myself as a healthy person?
Yeah, I totally hear you. And you know what? Your goals are definitely not going to be the same. I used to think, oh, I'll just run a marathon a month and, go out and do that. And the truth is, I don't think my body could handle it, but that doesn't mean, I do think goals are very important, but I think you have to really take a step back and say, what is important to you at this point in your life? And so it might not be running a race or getting a PR or, climbing to the top of, something or trekking across something else. It really just might be that, you want to achieve something for the week or maintain something. And I think, you almost hinted at it when you first started out. So you're in your mid-60s, your doctor's told you, okay, you're now having to think about like where you're going to be later. For me, that's a type of goal. So the goal is that I don't want to be an old person. I want to be a young old person. Mm-hmm. And so I want to be as fit as I can be. I want to be as active as I can be, because I want to do that for as long as I possibly can, because it sucks when you can't do the things you want to do. And so for you right now, it might be, well, you can't walk your dog or something else, but imagine if you let it go too far that you can't lift a can off the counter, or you can't get up out of a chair. You really have to try hard. You have to work at it, I should say, to get yourself to the point where that isn't happening. And that means you're going to have to change, I think, or at least add to your routine in certain ways. So if you, like me, I was always a cardio person. I always ran. I always did weights too, but now things like strength training and balance have come into my daily activity much more than they used to, and I'm much more focused on them than I used to be, because my goals are that I want to keep running. And so if I want to keep running without having my joints fall apart, I need to do those things to be able to do that. So I think there's things like that. And then the other thing is I use many more tricks maybe than I used to, because I used to just be able to I wake up, people would make fun of me. I'd be asleep, then I'd be awake, and then I'd be out the door, right? And so now I'm awake, I drink two cups of coffee, I wander around for a bit, and then I bargain with myself for 10 minutes, even though I love to run. I have a bargain every day. Today's the day you don't have to do it. But then eventually, I lose, at least the devil on my shoulder loses that bargain, I'm out the door. So I think, you have to plan for those sort of internal conversations and, kind of learn how to get past them. And I know this is like the oldest trick in the book and it sounds so trite, but writing it down makes a big difference for me. So I will put on my board the night before, stop what you're doing and run at 7:30. And then if it's on the board, like that's a contract. I come back, I get to cross it off. So that's one thing I did. So writing it down, whether it's like a temporary thing like that or in a journal, can really help.
Yeah.
And then the other little trick is I've switched how I think of my goals, because I am much slower than I used to be. I used to run a marathon at a 7-minute pace. Those days are so far. There's like, it's somebody else who did that. That's no longer me. I run a 10-minute pace now, which is like I'm very proud of.
Good for you. You're in your early 60s, right?
Yes, I'm in my early 60s.
Yeah.
But people pass me now. That's a new, even, you know, 10 years into people passing me, it still surprises me that people pass me. So I know I'm not running as far as I used to in the hour. So I switched my goals from miles to steps. Like, how many steps am I going to do? And that has made such a, and you know, all the watches today count steps.
Yeah.
And so, I really try and make it a daily goal to have X amount of steps and, you know, and then I don't really compete that much anymore, but I definitely compete with my husband on how many steps he does. And I would happily report that I usually can beat him. So, you know, that keeps my ego and my self-esteem intact. He's already got a good, healthy self-esteem, so he can take it and, you know, it's all good.
Yeah.
So, you know, those are interesting small tweaks, though, because you wouldn't think. Yeah. I mean, but because they're definitely different. You definitely changed your mindset. I find, this is Lan, I find if I book my yoga classes or my deep water workouts ahead of time.
Yeah.
Then which, A, you have to do because they fill up. But B, like, that gets me going. Like, it gets me there. I very rarely cancel something I've already booked. So it's sort of the same thing as writing it down ahead of time. Like, I make my plan and I stick to it. So
yeah, and I also find like it isn't fun to think about until you get started. And then when you get started, you're like, oh, well, yeah, this is great. Like, literally,
yeah, I never regret going. Yeah,
never, I never regret it.
Yeah, never regret going. So,
right. And also, like, I used to not listen to anything when I exercise now. If I'm indoors, I always have a show because that makes the time go faster. And when I'm outside, I listen to podcasts and, you know, things like that. And that definitely helps. And I actually take courses. So that's another fun thing. Mm-hmm. I listen to a course I'm taking and then I come back and take the quizzes. So I feel almost like...
You are very goal-oriented, Lynn.
But I know myself. So if you're not goal-oriented, you know, figure out what is motivating you and go with that. But I've always been somewhat compulsively goal-oriented. But I embrace that and I like it about myself and it works for me.
Yeah. There's one other element of mindset that I've been wrestling with is that, honestly, I never thought that what was going to take me down would be orthopedic in nature.
Yeah.
Because I'm not made of steel like you, but I've always been.
I'm not.
I've always been active and doing a lot of things. I felt like I was always strong, and I could always sort of take care of my health because if I felt like I was, you know, going in the wrong direction, I would just up my activity and I would be able to do that, you know. But there is something about feeling broken that I've allowed it to become too much a part of the story I'm telling myself about me. I know that sounds like, you know, a self-help book, but, you know, I just somehow I have to shake this idea that I broke myself and get back into, no, I am strong or I'm building strength or I'm doing things like that. And that's been so much more of a hurdle than I expected it to be.
Yeah, I wish in the beginning, and it's still not too late, but I wish in the beginning you had really thought about the pivot. So if you were having trouble with, you know, hips, knees, that sort of thing, there's plenty of things you could have worked on, like on upper body, for instance, core, sitting in a chair even. And there are things you can do to keep yourself stronger and moving. And there's the physical part of it, but it's also the part of, I think, taking... not even responsibility, but I think, okay, I still have some control. I can still do this.
Mm-hmm.
And I think carrying that with you makes it easier to get through that period of time where you're struggling and also get back to your normal activities when you can, because you didn't just sort of give it up entirely. You know what I mean? So so you could still do that. Like, you could still think, okay, what can I do now that I can do? That's going to give me some control and make me feel some strength, power, ownership of my body.
Yeah, that's great. And so I'll just confess that I am mad at myself for letting it slip away the way I did, because I know I should have done that, but I didn't. Okay, too late. Here we are.
You're human. You're also human. And you know what? We're all entitled to have moments. So you've had your moment. And
I
now,
have a moment.
Now you got to get out of that moment.
Yes, my theme for the year, Liz, which we announced on the show at the end of December, my theme this year is bust out. because this is it.
Nice.
Feeling it. Yeah. This is my moment.
So, love, love, love.
So we're going to take a little break. And then when we come back, we're going to get specific advice from you on some of the fitness aspects that Leanne and I and our listeners are all working on.
Wonderful.
Liz, you look really happy. What's happening there?
A lot of things going my way, Leanne, but here was the best news in my inbox this morning is I got my email from ButcherBox saying, we're starting to get your next box ready. And I just love when this happens because then you click on the link, you can go in, you can see what's on sale, you can get the best value for your next order, and then boom, customized box showing up in a few weeks at my place. I love being in the ButcherBox family, and they give me plenty of time to get ready every time.
There is good communication in the ButcherBox family. I agree, Liz. They want you to be happy.
Yeah.
They want you to have
peace.
She's
better than many families. Better than many families.
That's right. It's right. You know we love the 100% grass-fed beef, the free-range organic chicken, the pork that's raised crate-free, wild-caught seafood. They're humanely raised, no antibiotics or added hormones, and as Liz said, delivered right to your doorstep. Free shipping always, and you get that customized box of everything you want. ButcherBox, thank you so much for bringing us peace of mind, and keep those emails coming. Liz, today's offer is spectacular. ButcherBox is giving Satellite Sisters listeners free ground beef for the life of your membership, plus an additional $20 off your first order.
Okay. Oh, that is the deal of the century, people. What are you waiting for?
Free ground beef for life of your membership, plus an additional 20% off your first order. Use the link butcherbox.com/sisters and use code SISTERS to get free ground beef for life plus $20 off your first box. That's butcherbox.com/sisters, code SISTERS. Thanks, ButcherBox. Liz, some people say it's spring, but I call this Osea season.
Oh, you do? Okay. I like it. We can make that happen. Osea season. I'm in.
Well, you know, there are a lot of events this time of year, right? You have spring holidays, you have graduations, there's Mother's Day, baby showers, weddings, wedding showers. Don't you want to be moisturized, Liz? Don't you want your skin to look as good as it can possibly look when you show up at your high school reunion? I mean,
yes, I do. Yes. Yeah, for sure. Plus, it's a big gift season, and Osea is great for that, too. So,
right. Oh, yeah. Give your skin a glow up with Osea's clinically proven seaweed-infused skincare that provides results you can see and confidence you can feel. And right now, you're going to get 10% off your first order with our code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. You know why we love their moisturizing products? Like their anti-aging body balm? Because it's silky. And it's a serum lotion hybrid. It just melts into your skin, Liz. It leaves you glowing, you know?
Glowing. I love the term glow up. I'm going to start using that more. I just love it.
Well, Liz, OseaMalibu.com, it's a glow up in a box, Liz. Get it. Get on it. If you want to celebrate Osea season by glowing up and adding moisture with their fantastic moisturizing products, here's what you do. Glow from the inside out with clean vegan skin and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. You'll get free samples with every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Head to OseaMalibu.com, and Osea is Osea. OseaMalibu.com and use code SATSISTERS for 10% off. Thanks, Osea.
And we are back. So Liz Neprint, our favorite fitness advisor, longtime counselor to the Satellite Sisters, is with us. And we're talking about like aging and fitness and goal setting and all of the things that we're personally wrestling with. So Liz, if we were thinking about how to build a fitness program a little later in life, what do you think are the key elements it should have? Where do we even begin? What are the categories?
Right. So I would say this, even if you've never been a fitness person, you can start to be a fitness person at any age. You can pick it up at any time and you can make it work. So if you've never done it and you're in your 50s, 60s or beyond, that's okay. Just begin. So I would say that.
Just begin. I'm writing that down.
One step, just one step in front of the other, and then repeat. So the elements of a fitness or exercise program are really going to be kind of the same nuts and bolts, and it just depends on how you move them around. So you have cardio, which is for your heart and lungs and for your organs and also for your brain. You have strength, which is for your muscles, and also, as we're increasingly finding out, also for your heart and brain. I think balance, which sounds like an older person's thing to do, but I actually recommend that everybody includes some balance training in their program, whether they do something separate or they incorporate it into perhaps a strength program. And then you have flexibility, which is stretching and how fluid your muscles feel. And so I think I don't like to give one general prescription for an age group, because I think that's where we get into mistakes. And that's why people sort of drop out, because a one-size-all prescription isn't really going to fit people. So if I take myself in as example, I probably run and walk a lot more than most people my age, because that's what I want to do. And also because my joints can handle it. But I'm also increasingly more focused on the strength and balance parts, because that's what is the kind of the glue and the cement that holds your joints together. So if you want to keep running and walking, you're not going to wind up with joint problems. So if I were going to give a generalized prescription that everybody should try and fall into that range, I would say between 10 and 60 minutes of cardiovascular, and it doesn't necessarily have to be something very high intensity. It can be something like walking or, a light sort of session on the elliptical trainer or an exercise bike is plenty for your heart and lungs. And then strength training, I really like to see people do probably total of 40 to 60 minutes combined for the week, which you can do in 5-minute increments, you can do it in 10-minute increments, you can do it in 20-minute increments. It really just depends on your goals and what you're able to deal with.
Think strength training is something that, let's talk specifically about strength training.
Yeah.
Lee, and I know you had some questions about this too, but this seems like an area that might be newer to many people who maybe they kept up with cardio, but now all of a sudden all this talk about strength and talk about balance is a little bit new. So what is your definition of strength training? What are we actually doing?
Right. That is a great question. So strength training, quite literally, and I don't mean to be trite, is anything that makes your muscles stronger. So people have this idea that it's this traditional thing. I have to pick up a dumbbell or a band or go work on a machine. But in fact, I consider yoga strength training or Pilates strength training. And you can do a ton of things like with your body weight, like push-ups, squats, sit-ups, or actually planks, let's say. Those all count as strength training because they're things that literally make your muscles and your body stronger. A little interesting tidbit about strength training is, much like osteoporosis and other things that go along with strengthening your muscles, is they also strengthen your bones and is also joint or site specific. So strength training really needs to be a whole body endeavor. So it's not enough to just do, let's say, squats. You need to do something for your upper body and your middle body too, to kind of hit every aspect of it, so the entire body is strong.
Oh, okay. So I've been wondering, this is Lee, I do a lot of yoga and I have for 30 years. And that's all Madonna does, Liz.
Yeah.
So that's what
that's the end of the conversation.
Once Madonna went to all yoga, Lee and Dolan went to all yoga. And now I've just been seeing so many women my age on Instagram with their dumbbells and their kettlebells. And I'm like, oh, do I really need to do that? Also, I work out in the water. I do deep water. So that's resistance training.
Yes, exactly right.
And that still counts as strength training.
You know, that's actually, I'm really glad you brought that up, because the better word for it would be resistance training. So anytime you push against something and you have to resist back on it, is going to make you stronger. But resistance training is a little bit of a jargony word. So I usually just say strength training.
Okay.
And so it's all a catch-all. But I do consider, depending on the type of yoga you do, it will be something that makes your body stronger and can absolutely fit into your strength training requirement or your resistance training requirement.
Yeah, it's vinyasa. I'm pushing my body's up, my body up and down. Some days more than others, but still, I feel like I have to make sure I go to those harder yoga classes. You can't just lie around in a gentle class. That doesn't count, right?
Yeah, no. Give yourself a break sometimes. Do a gentle class.
But yeah, I mean, I like them, but for strength training, it's not the same as a vinyasa class. Okay.
Right.
Does it help with bone density, yoga and
Pilates? Yoga does, because you're supporting your weight. I don't know what you do, but I by the way, yoga and my body do not agree. I can run for miles. I do 5 minutes of yoga, I get injured. So there you go. But, you know, I know we agree to disagree, yoga and I, and we just parted company. But I will say there are some really hard things to do in yoga, like tell me the name of it because I'm just blanking on it. When you squat over and then put your knees onto your elbows.
Oh, crow pose. Crow. Yeah.
I worked for a year on that. And let me tell you, when I achieved it, I was really sore afterwards. So
yeah,
it gave me more resistance than I was used to. And therefore it made my body stronger. And therefore it was a very good example of a very effective form of strength training.
Okay. All right, this is all great news for me. I feel I just worry that if I'm weight training on my own, I'm going to hurt myself. You know what I mean? And I just think, oh gosh, I don't know. Can I kettlebell out in the garage? I guess I can, but
I wouldn't be. I mean, I think first of all, you could put the kettlebells aside and just do some very traditional weight training, or you know, for a beginner, they might just move their body without any weights at all. And okay. I think if you start small, like with one set. Each of an exercise for each part of your body, and then gradually increase that to maybe a couple sets or three sets, and then gradually add weight. So each set is perhaps 15 repetitions, meaning you repeat the exercise, and then you feel kind of tired at the end of that set, and you gradually do that over the course of a couple weeks. It's very, very safe, and you shouldn't be afraid of it.
Okay. All right. Okay. Let me add some of that then. Thank you, Liz.
I have to be careful with the kettlebells. Okay. Our listener, Denise, also had a question about muscle mass and metabolism.
Yeah.
Because once we're of a certain age, so she wanted to know, is it harder to build new muscles as we age?
Oh, this question. Yes. So that's the other thing strength training will do that perhaps cardio or flexibility or some other things won't, is it will help you maintain your muscle mass. And I will tell you, the sooner you start maintaining your muscle mass, the better it is for you later on, because it's much harder to build it than it is to maintain it.
Okay.
But you are going to, as that is just a fact of nature, you will lose muscle mass as you age, even if you keep up with it. It's just, I'm sorry, that's just the passage of time. That doesn't mean you're going to lose it entirely. It doesn't mean you can't keep a decent amount of muscle mass as you age. And as I'm sure Denise is thinking, the more muscle mass you have, the more you can eat because your metabolism is just faster. And so as we age and we lose muscle mass, it does definitely become harder to maintain a decent body weight, you know, that you feel good about. And also the shape of your body is going to change. It just is. I mean, it's not to say you won't look great and you can't fight time as long as you feel like you're able to, but it just the fact is you have to embrace that change.
Okay. All right.
Okay. But that's okay. It could be a good thing. It's not going to be the same.
It's okay. Yeah.
It's okay. I'm fine with it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's move on. You mentioned balance being really important. And because I had a bad fall, I definitely do not need to be convinced how important balance is, Liz. So how should we be thinking about balance as a part of our overall fitness program?
Yeah, I actually think it should be in every age group. Everybody should be working on balance training. But, you know, do you have to take a whole separate 10 minutes? Is that just another thing you have to add on? I actually don't think so. I think for the most part, like let's take Liam's yoga sessions. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of balance in yoga, like that crow stand I was talking about. How is that not balance, right? Like that, that's, it's not just strength, but it's also understanding how to position your body so it is in perfect balance. So that's one way to incorporate it. But let's say you don't like yoga and you want to do traditional strength training. There are many, many moves you could do. And by the way, feel free to get up and try it if you want, just like the old days. But you could stand on one leg as you did a bicep curl, let's say, and that would count as balance training. Or, you know, one move I particularly like is I'll stand on one leg. I will lean over to the front. I will pick up a weight in front of me, and then I'll stand back up with the weight, and then I'll lift it over my head. I'll bring it down to my shoulder, lean forward, and put it back down on the ground. So that incorporates so many things for your brain, for your body, for your balance, for your strength. And you can just get it all in moves like that. And, you know, it doesn't cost you any extra time in your day. Mm-hmm. And it's also fun. It makes you think. It makes you concentrate. Makes the time go faster. It's a challenge. Like, so if you are goal-oriented, I guarantee the first time you do that, you're going to fall forward. And I hope you don't fall over so you could hold on to something. But, you know, but over the course of a week or two, you're going to get better at it. And the first time you do it successfully, you're like, yes, that's so cool. I can do it. It's just an accomplishment.
Yeah. Oh, all right. Okay. That's inspiring.
I've had to.
I do want to stand up and do this stuff, Liz. I'm back. I do want to do it. I want to do whatever Liz is telling us to do. Okay.
Nice.
Okay. Yeah, I've had to do a lot of this. I've been in almost full-time physical therapy for 3 years now, Liz. So I've been working a lot on my balance. So, yeah.
Well, I'm sure they teach you balance and strength. And I'm sure they teach you all of this stuff.
Yes. And I really do enjoy doing those exercises. And you're right that it's a mental challenge, too. So I think I enjoy that part of it. You know, it's sort of like, you know, patting your belly and rubbing your head at the same time sometimes.
Yeah. Okay. And I think we have to think less exotic about all of this. Like, honestly, fitness can be very simple. You can go for a walk. You can do a simple weight lift. It doesn't have to involve a ton of equipment. It doesn't have to involve, a huge amount of planning other than like, I'm going to do this today. When am I going to do it? Fit it into your day. You don't even really need too much in the way of equipment other than a really nice pair of shoes and for women, a good sports bra. And if it's cold out, a coat. Mm-hmm. You're done.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all you need. So that the elaborateness of it should not be a barrier.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk specifically about cardio then, as long as you're talking about walking. You talked about what our goals should be. You know, I used to be a runner, then I became a regular walker, then the accident sort of wiped that out. So I'm starting to build up again. But in between, in my recovery, I have been doing a lot of swimming. I'm super lucky to have a beautiful public pool right near me. But then I keep hearing that what I really need to be doing are weight-bearing exercises. And so the swimming not count for that? Explain to me what my cardio goals should be versus my weight bearing goals should be.
Right. Well, that is a very interesting question. And certainly swimming definitely counts as cardio. And if you do, like you'll see those aerobic pool classes.
Yeah.
That
Leon and I both do those. We love those.
Right. Yeah. So those are good. But in fact, they're not weight bearing. And there is some research to show that it may not help with things like staving off osteoporosis. So I do think if you're in the pool, you probably do need to do some things outside of the pool to just ensure you're getting that things that are going to build your bone density and your bone mass. And the other thing about swimming that's sort of interesting, and there are many theories behind it that are just too complicated to get into, is it's not ideal for things like weight loss. So I think for you, it's ideal because that's where you have to be. And that's a perfect example of pivoting to something that you can do. But in terms of somebody whose goal is perhaps helping to keep their bones strong, build some more muscle mass, and maybe maintain a metabolism, they might want to be thinking about some more land-based things where your feet actually hit the ground.
Okay. All right. So related to that, it was so great. Listeners had so many great questions. We might have to do many follow-up episodes with you, Liz. But for now, we got a few questions from listeners who have physical issues that limit their mobility. So I related to these. And so they were wondering if walking inside their homes during the day is as beneficial as being outside for a walk because they don't necessarily feel safe outside. But do they get the same kind of value, fitness value, from just walking around inside?
If it adds up, it adds
up. A step is a step. So,
right. And that's why I love that stupid step counter on my watch. Mm-hmm. Honestly, that is just like the most fun thing to look at during the day. So if they pick a step goal, I don't care if they walked across the Sahara or they walked to the laundry room. If they achieve their step goal, it's really a pretty good accomplishment. So I would say if that's how you want to do it, go for it.
Okay. All right. And then listener Casey, on a related issue, she wanted guidance on like how to keep doing workouts with injuries. And I know this is like super broad category.
Yeah.
But do you have any do's or don'ts for people if they're dealing with, say, a muscle strain or a broken something or some kind of injury? How should they think about adapting their exercises?
Right. Also a great question. Well, I mean, the first thing is you always want to consult with your doctor about what you are and are not allowed to do. So I'll go back to my example when I tore that gluteus muscle. For some reason, I was cleared for cycling. So I did a lot of indoor cycling, which is not something that comes naturally to me. I'm not one of those, yay, soul cycle. It's a great activity. It just, again, just was not for me.
God, I hate it so much.
I hate it so much.
I hate it so much. I've had to do so much of that. Ugh.
I learned to love it. And then as soon as I didn't need it, I was pretty happy to say goodbye to it. So, but it got me through and it made me so much stronger. And so if it was all I could do, I just learned to find ways that I could at first tolerate it and then actually try and make it enjoyable. So it became like I really didn't like certain instructors because I am not like this will make you'll instantly understand the type of person I am. The people who talk in sort of platitudes and about the golden ball of light, that's just not for me. Talk to me about practical things, about your day, or you know, I'm with you there, but I don't need the woo. In fact, I don't like the woo. I just like, just tell me like my heart rate should be this. I should pump like this. And that, because I'm a very analytical, science leaning type person, but that's me. I have another friend who's a nurse, by the way. And she loves that sort of thing. So we do not work out together because we do not match, but I love her. I'll go for a drink with her, but you know, she's in great shape, but she's just coming to it from not only so interesting, not only a different physical way, but from a different psychological angle, but it works for her. And so she should keep doing it.
Okay. Well, that's a good thing for us to know about ourselves. How much woo do we need?
Right? Yeah. Woo is that.
There's no step counter for that. Okay. So we're going to have to move on now. Let's talk about nutrition for a little bit because, and I know this is an impossible single question, like what are the key nutritional changes as we age? But it just seems like there's so much conflicting information out there, or then there's something new. Like I just read that we need more protein as we age, Liz. And honestly, I had never heard that before.
Yeah.
So what are the key things we should think about when it comes to nutrition and aging for women?
You know, again, a good question. And unfortunately, I'm not going to have a very good answer for it because the answer shifts from week to week, month to month, year to year. And the truth is, I don't really know if science understands everything it needs to about nutrition at any age. But I will say this, the one thing I think almost all science agrees on, if you can help it, try not to diet. So try not to restrict to the point where you're starving your metabolism, you're starving yourself, you're making yourself miserable because it's not good for your body, it's not good for your brain. So I know there, you know, a higher protein diet might be, let's say, a keto, and that may work for you because you can stick to it, and that's great. You can follow those principles. But veganism might be something that speaks to you on a philosophical, moral and personal level, and you can get to your goals, your nutritional goals with something like that. But it would be really studying and understanding the principles of what makes each of those types of diet trends healthy, because it's just going to be different for each one. So I would never presume to tell someone you need to eat you know, this particular way, because I don't think we, first of all, really know what's true yet. And we, and even if we ever do find that, I really have a sense it's just not going to work for every single person. So I would say you need to probably consult with your physician as much as anything, and then do some good hard thinking about what you can actually live with that can keep you in kind of the universe of what would be considered healthy without starving yourself and starving your body. So I know that's not like maybe the most satisfactory answer, but
no, it's what helpful. I believe. Yeah, because you just read a lot of places, well, just get over it, ladies, because your metabolism slows, so you're going to have to eat a lot less. And it just seems like there probably needs to be more information in that area.
Yeah.
Less is the solution.
I mean, I don't think I eat less, but I will admit I'm definitely heavier than I used to be, and my weight is definitely, because it's going to happen even if you weigh the same, your weight's going to redistribute, it's going to shift a bit, and things are going to follow where gravity goes, which is sinking and downward, and that's okay. You know, that's just a fact. You're going to have more cellulite as you get older, but that's, you know, that's a badge of aging. And I also think you could sort of learn to embrace some of those things. But I think if you exercise a bit more and really work on building that muscle mass and maintaining your metabolism, it's not really going to be as terrible as you think. Because I'm certainly not overweight in any way, shape, or form. And no one would be consider me that, but I enjoy myself. I don't go crazy. I watch it, but I have long are the days where I will ever consider starving myself. Because especially as you get older, you realize it's just not worth it, because part of eating and nutrition is not counting calories. It's counting enjoyment. Mm-hmm. And I think when we get so obsessed with calories and looking a certain way, you're really missing a pretty big element of what eating is supposed to be. So,
yes,
pleasure. I'm not saying you should go hog wild and be irresponsible, but I'm saying that it's a form of responsibility to own how you eat and enjoy it, as well as keep it healthy.
Okay. One last nutrition question before we move on. Listener Kathleen wanted to know, like, is there a good, like, reliable source of information about vitamins, supplements, probiotics, prebiotics? That's another area where it just seems like there's a lot of conflicting information that comes at us.
And this doesn't the pendulum tick-tock back on all of that stuff,
totally.
Too? Like,
yeah.
I was just talking to somebody, and they said, oh, I take vitamin C for, you know, I forget what the condition was. But that's now considered quack medicine, like that. And we used to all pop vitamin C, the sunshine vitamin. It prevented colds. It did, you know, help with weight loss. The pendulum has now swung the other way. Vitamin C is sort of proven not to do some of those things. And there was just a study yesterday that came out that said, hey, maybe taking calcium and vitamin D isn't really going to be so helpful for bone density.
Seriously?
Yeah.
My gosh.
When you look at those, every study in isolation, you could go crazy because it's a study in isolation. So you really have to look at an entire body. But who has time to do that? An entire body of research. But, you know, only people who get paid to do that professionally really do that. So my feeling is I would definitely consult with my doctor, see what my doctor thinks. They'll probably run some blood tests. I do know that one thing that there's some general agreement on is a lot of people in North America are somewhat deficient in vitamin D. So taking a gummy once a day wouldn't kill you, might help you, might do nothing, but might help you. So I would say if you took a vitamin D and a multivitamin, it's a good insurance policy. It doesn't cost a whole bunch. The gummies actually taste kind of good. And you would cover yourself, but sort of mega dosing on vitamins, I think, has unless you have a specific, condition or reason for that, has generally been debunked.
Okay, all right, and I'm not even going to say the word microbiome because we do not have time. I know it's super important though, and I'm fascinated by it. But so, okay, we're going to take another little break. We have some more listener questions, but I also want to ask about the importance of community and connection when it comes
wonderful.
To being healthy. How important are these for our health goals? So we'll be right back.
Liz, you know, I am now just a devotee to my prose regimen, right? My hair care regimen.
I know that, Leon, I'm looking at your hair right now on Zoom. Even on Zoom, your hair looks fantastic.
I'm in training for this book tour, Liz. You know,
perfect. Yeah.
I'm going to be out there. I'm going to be, you know, seeing people and photos will be taken. And I want to look great. At least have my hair look great. And I feel like with prose, I am well on my way. And it's because it's personalized for me, Liz. Yes. Okay. Prose is made for people, not hair and skin types. Personalization is rooted in everything they do. So you take the in-depth consultation, you get the made-to-order stuff, and then you follow, you know, the instructions, Liz, and things get better. I take my vitamins. They're for me. They say Leon on it. I do, you know, the shampoo. I do the conditioner. I do the leave-in conditioner. Sometimes I do the pre-shampoo scalp treatment, Liz. I don't do that all the time, but that is it's in my toolbox, my prose toolbox.
Whatever it is, it's all paying off for you, Leanne. You've just got a good hair game. Thanks to
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Of the millions and millions of possible formulas, Liz, only one is uniquely mine. And that is why I love my prose. Prose is so confident that you'll bring out the best in your hair that they're offering an exclusive trial offer of 50% off your first subscription order at prose.com/sisters. So you get your free consultation, then 50% off at prose.com/sisters. And prose is spelled P-R-O-S-E. Prose.com/sisters. Thanks, pros, for great hair.
Okay, we are back with our Satellite Sisters Solid Gold fitness expert, Liz Neprin. Now, Liz, it seems like we know more than ever about the importance of community and connection when it comes to staying healthy, like all that Blue Zone research and just the general well-being. We all know that, we know it comes from just taking a walk with our satellite sisters. So do you have any specific thoughts on developing community and connection to support health? How do you think about that?
Yeah, it's such a great way to make connections and be in a group, I think. And I'm sure you've heard and that the Surgeon General declared during the pandemic, actually, that there was a loneliness epidemic in this country. And here in New York, where I am, do you remember Dr. Ruth, sex therapist? She was named the loneliness ambassador here for New York. And one of the things she said is you can get together and join all kinds of walking groups, and you can get your sort of your health requirement and your sort of community requirements all together in one little package, which I think is great. I know when I run across the Brooklyn Bridge, there's a group of older women that all wear these pink jumpsuits that I've been watching for decades now, who go across the bridge, and they're chatting and they're walking. And I always thought, oh man, what a great group. Of course, I never stop and talk to them. If I did, I bet they would be great. And then another one of my runs, which I find just so culturally wonderful, is I live near Chinatown in New York. And at all hours of the day, there are these large groups of Chinese men and women who get together to dance and do Tai Chi and these other gorgeous movement exercise programs all together in groups of as small as 10, but sometimes there are 100 people doing it. And it's just amazing to me. And I am sure they are getting their connection community benefits from that as well. But not everybody lives near Chinatown or goes over the bridge. So how do you make that happen? And I think, although we disparage the internet, this is one time where it actually could be really, really good for making connections. So you could join a Facebook group of walkers or runners or people who swim or people who've been injured even, and get a lot of connection, advice, share tips in these groups. And, it's one way to stay connected if you have trouble finding somebody up close and personal. So, you can get creative about things like that and get a lot of benefit from things like that. I mean, I think it's good to have face-to-face. I will tell you something startling to me. This is probably not what we want to say, but Yesterday, I tried out the new GPT chat voice feature. It is like talking to a human. It's really, it's both wonderful and scary, but I have also read that there are people using it to combat loneliness. They're talking to their, and it is literally like, it's so fluid. And, you know, again, we could argue whether that's good or bad, but I mean, if you're really, if you have nothing else, like you've got to sometimes get creative. So I just, and there are robots, you know, like in
Japan, robots. Our sister Monica is a nurse who works in stroke research.
Yeah.
And so they test a lot of new things. And I remember her telling me years ago that they were, that one of the big problems with stroke recovery is loneliness and isolation. Yeah. And so they are testing robots to talk to the patients. Just having anyone to talk to, even if it's not a human, was actually helping their stroke recovery.
Oh, of course. And I mean, you don't even have to go sort of non-biological, like having a pet to walk be connected with. You know, honestly, my husband stopped running several years ago. We have a dog. He walks the dog a couple hours a day. It's good for the dog. It's good for him. And I, you know, that's just like, I'm so grateful to the dog for keeping my husband healthy. you know, but I see a lot of people like that. And I think it's just great.
Yeah.
So, you know, be creative. If you can't join a formal group, there are many ways to get connected and make it part of your fitness programs.
Well, one thing we've just started again in the Satellite Sisters Facebook group is what I call Operation Sea Turtle, which was a name we gave a like fitness program. Like, when was that, Leon? Like a dozen years ago.
When we were going to the Galapagos.
Yes.
Right? Oh, amazing.
So, yeah. So we all had to get into like swimming shape because it's hard swimming there. So yeah. So that was like 12 years ago.
Yeah. So
that's
a
dream of mine. I want to go there. I haven't.
Oh, it's so great. It's great. So what we do now, though, is just once a week, you know, I do a thread on the weekends that's just, okay, how'd everybody do this week with your goals? And I put in a few notes about what I did. And then everybody just adds their own notes about what they did. You know, and it's just the sharing and hearing people talk about the various, how they're measuring their progress, all of that. It's a super simple thing to do, but I find it very motivating, very motivating.
How lucky are you that you have your sisters for that connection and for that motivation? Like, that is just so special and amazing. So you really, I hope you really value that, because that is incredible.
Yeah, it's great. The whole Satellite Sisterhood. We had a big weekend event in October in Minneapolis. And the one, so we had 150 listeners come and it was great. And the one activity I planned, Liz, I'll send you a photo. It was very dramatic.
Oh, love it.
Is we took a walk to the Mary Tyler Moore statue. That was our.
Oh, very cool.
Leon led a yoga class. Which
yes. Well, I didn't teach it. As Satellite Sister Mary taught it, but I was in the front row. So I did a big yoga class with a lot of people too. That was great.
Yeah. See, and so not only are you guys, you know, motivating yourselves, look at this extended community that you're motivating. It's so great.
Yes, it is. We're very lucky. So, okay, we have just a couple of listener questions and then we will let you go. Julia had one, which I thought, okay, well, she wanted to know what aches and pains are normal to be expected in our 60s, like morning stiffness or sore knees, versus something we should go ask our doctor about.
That, oh my gosh, that is such a good question. I'm so glad she asked that. So I don't think extended aches and pains are normal or a normal part of aging. So if you're having those, you definitely want to go see a doctor about why that continues, because it could be the start of something like osteoporosis, arthritis, rheumatoid arthritis, or something more underlying. So as an example, hip pain might not be orthopedic. It could be the sign of something with your kidney or your liver or something like that. So I would say know your body, know how it usually feels. And if something is out of the ordinary, go get it checked out. And you can feel like a hypochondriac and your doctor might be thinking that, behind her smile, but I would say better safe than sorry. So I'm not saying go every single day, but if you know your body, you know when something's not right, and you learn to pay attention. I would not ignore it, and I would not let it creep up on you. Go get it checked out.
Okay. You know, another listener wanted to know about, are there good guidelines for exercising with a chronic illness? I assume that's something you should talk to your doctor about, but
it is. And because it could be illness specific. So, for instance, the guidelines for multiple sclerosis are definitely going to be different than the guidelines for lupus. So that is, I think, too general a question to really answer, and probably is best answered by somebody, you know, somebody they're seeing personally medically.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, I just want to say to people who what they're thinking now is, I have a lot of questions and they all relate to menopause. And
and we have a whole list of menopause questions. Yeah. So,
but we also have a whole menopause episode coming up.
Right.
So we might have to delay that. So we will end with the most important question of all, Leanne, which I believe is, we need guidance on coffee, right?
Right. Kelly wants to know, she keeps hearing that her habit of drinking coffee first thing in the morning on an empty stomach is not a good thing, but it's her thing, Liz, and she doesn't want to give it up.
She should drink that coffee. She should drink that coffee. So that's another one. The pendulum swings back and forth on coffee. It's good for you. It's bad for you. It's somewhere in the middle. But actually what they're finding is that coffee has some cardiovascular benefits and it has some brain benefits, particularly brain benefits. So I think if your coffee habit is reasonable, meaning like you're not drinking 10, 15 cups a day and, you know, out of your mind on a, you know, caffeine high, it's probably healthy. At least it's not detrimental and maybe beneficial. So right now the coffee science seems to be very pro coffee. So let me leave it at that. But I personally drink it. I drink it in the morning on an empty stomach. You know, I have my husband drink it because I do think it's neurologically protective.
Okay. If your answer had been different than that, we would have had to edit it out.
Right. Yeah.
Our minds are not open on the subject of coffee, even though we drink a lot.
Nope. Yeah. I mean, okay. We can talk about other caffeinated drinks like diet sodas and so forth, but that's for another day.
Oh, no. Okay. Liz Neperin, satellite sister, fitness expert. She is a health and fitness writer and the co-author of Fitness for Dummies and The Runner's Brain. Really nice to have you back on Satellite Sister.
Such a pleasure. So nice catching up with you guys.
Yes. It was. Okay. Great. We will keep in touch. Thank you so much.
Bye.
Bye.
Well, how amazing to talk to Liz Neperin again. I know why we had her on many, many times on the radio show. She is a fantastic guest who is just well-informed and speaks knowledgeably with fact-based commentary, Liz.
Yes, we're all about the facts. It's super helpful, especially when the facts change. She's always up on what the new research is. And she's a woman like our age. So I think she understands why we're asking what we're asking. So thank you so much. So I do want to remind people, though, that it's not really fact-based, but the Satellite Sisters, the Operation Sea Turtle thread every weekend in the Satellite Sisters Facebook group and on @SatSisters at Instagram. If you just want to check in with the Satellite Sisterhood about how you're doing and how we're doing, I try to post something every weekend and you can just add your report to that thread. And it's just a way of sort of keeping a community together and thinking about these health issues.
All right. I want to remind people that we're doing a couple of new shows that are health-based. So this is our first one in a series. Posting later this week will be one brought to you by our sponsor, MEA, Modern Elder Academy. We're doing a special collaboration with them on a menopause workshop they're doing in Santa Fe. So I'll be attending the menopause workshop. But we are going to be talking to menopause doctor, Dr. Suzanne Gilbert-Lenz, this weekend about some menopause basics, and then talking about, again, very interesting, the value of community in sort of getting through this period of your life and celebrating this period of your life. That is her point of view.
Oh, okay.
And then we're going to be taking a look at my colon cancer. March is Colon Cancer Awareness Month. So for the last 4 years, I've posted an episode about my colon cancer. But this year, we listened to that episode, but we also updated. I have some more information and some more thoughts about just cancer in general, what it's been like for the last 4.5 years to sort of have that as part of my health story. So that's all coming up in the next week. We're just posting. So
yeah. Because these are the things that are on our minds. So we've decided to just do some shows, Liz.
Big thanks to our sponsors. Just a reminder, we still have sponsors and they are still sponsoring us. So and making it possible for us to be on all these platforms and to be posting new shows and reposting re-edited shows. So thanks to them and thanks to you for supporting our sponsors. Huge thanks to Liz Neprint. It was great to talk to her again. And Liz, you have big plans for the week? You got anything going on?
Next week is my annual physical, Leanne.
Oh, right.
So that's why I had a lot. I just added like 10 questions to the list for my doctor based on what Liz was recommending. So this was a very good pre-interview for the doctor's appointment.
Okay, fun. Well, yeah, I'm just plugging away, Liz, just prepping for my book tour. I hate to keep mentioning it, but there's a lot going on. So, just finalizing dates. You could always go over to leandolan.com and take a look. The Marriage Sabbatical book tour is hitting the road. April 3rd will be my first public appearance at Romans in Pasadena. And then I'm maybe coming to a city near you, Dallas, Fort Worth, Portland, other places, Connecticut in the fall, South Dakota. So I'm looking forward to that. All right. We got to get going. We got stuff to do today. All right. Yeah. All right. Have a good week, Liz.
You too, Liam.
And don't forget, call your satellite sister.